Hello, this is my Lenten diary for March the 19th, 2019. Today is Tuesday in the second week of Lent. This is a reading from the fourth chapter of John. Then Jesus came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had changed the water into wine. Now there was a royal official whose son lay ill in Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went and begged him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." The official said to him, "Sir, come down before my little boy dies." Jesus said to him, "Go, your son will live." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and started on his way. As he was going down, his slaves met him and told him that his child was alive. So he asked them the hour when he began to recover, and they said to him, "Yesterday at 1 PM the fever left him." The father realized that this was the hour when Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." So he himself believed, along with his whole household. Now this was the second sign that Jesus did after coming from Judea to Galilee. Did you catch it? Did you catch the theme of belief and believing in this story? The story of Jesus' second sign. That's what John calls them in his gospels. He doesn't call them miracles, he calls them signs, because they point to who Jesus is. The first sign is the turning of the water into wine. The second sign is the healing of this official's son from a distance. Jesus doesn't lay hands on the son. Jesus simply speaks the word, and the son is healed. But the key piece here, and the reason John tells the story, is not about the healing of the son, which is miraculous, right? But what he speaks about is how the official and then his entire household come to believe in Jesus. Now, the healing stories that accompany Jesus' ministry in all four of the Gospels are spectacular. And it's easy to see why we can get so moved by them, or maybe disturbed by them. Any of us who've had a sick loved one, or a loved one who was facing death because of a severe illness, any one of us know what it's like to wish and to hope and to pray for our loved one's recovery. And sometimes people do recover, and sometimes that recovery is almost miraculous, and other times they don't. And so these healing stories of Jesus, about Jesus, these healing stories where Jesus heals people, call up for us both the hopefulness and the pathos of what it means to watch a loved one not recover. Well, in the Gospels, healing stories are not primarily about the health of the individual who is healed. They always sort of point to something beyond themselves. So when Jesus heals blind people, that's a sign or miracle designed to open our eyes to Jesus as the Son of God. When he heals deaf people, it's appointing to us to open our ears to hear his word. When he heals those who are set apart from society by touching them and healing diseases like leprosy, that is to remind us of our ministry to reach out and care for those who are weakened by illness. When Jesus heals those who are lame, unable to walk, or have some other physical defect, that's a sign to us that The salvation that comes from God makes us whole. And so part of our challenge when we read these healing stories in the New Testament is to read them both for what they are, stories of Jesus' miraculous power as the Son of God, and for how they teach us to be living, breathing agents of Christ's healing in the world. Sometimes it can be hard for us to make that leap. If Jesus could heal all of those people back then, why doesn't he heal our loved one? I'm not about to try and give a definitive answer about that because people have wrestled with it for centuries, eons. But I think that what we need to keep in mind is that all of these healing narratives are pointing us to the healing of our soul that comes through the salvation offered us by Jesus. And I think there's something to be said about what it means to enter into a place of wholeness, right relationship with God, right relationship with each other, right relationship within ourselves, this wholeness of body, mind, and spirit that is salvation. All day, as I've been thinking about this amazing passage where this son is restored to health and the father and the entire household comes to belief in Jesus as the Son of God and as the healer extraordinaire, I've been thinking about an old spiritual that's in our hymnal. It's hymn number 676. I'm not going to sing it, but I have been humming it all day. And so I thought I'd read the words as a closing to this diary entry. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my work's in vain, but then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. If you cannot preach like Peter, if you cannot pray like Paul, you can tell the love of Jesus and say, He died for all. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. Let us pray. Almighty God, whose Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, is the light of the world, grant that your people, illumined by your word and sacraments, may shine with the radiance of Christ's glory, that he may be known, worshipped, and obeyed to the ends of the earth through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, now and forever. Amen.